Hi, and welcome to the Longevity Now podcast, the place for all your news and views of life extension from around the world. One of the biggest problems in health and medical research is that the majority of it is not true. By not true, I mean it's poorly done, it cannot be replicated, it's biased, it's p-hacked, it's fraudulent, and so on. The Longevity Forum has kept track of this for a couple of decades now, whereas most mainstream research associations continue to ignore this massive problem. Longevity members and life extension enthusiasts try to find solutions. Enter the Rejuvenation Science Institute, a nonprofit research organization founded in Brazil by Nicolas Chernovsky and Nina Torres Zanvitar. They heard about the groundbreaking research conducted by Harold Ketcher at Yuvan Research Institute, where older mice were rejuvenated, and they knew it needs to be confirmed. It needs to be replicated. In this podcast, you will hear about Nina and Nicolas and their journey into this role of proving life extension research. And now I would like to welcome to the Longevity Now podcast Nicolas Chernovsky and Nina Torres Zanvitar. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi, everybody.
And there might be a few people in the audience not familiar with you, so could you please give us a little introduction and a little background on yourselves. First, Nina, and then Nicolas.
Hi, my name is Nina. I'm from Brazil. I studied chemistry in the university and then did a master's degree in the field of medicinal chemistry in the development of anti-cancer drugs. And then I realized that I didn't want to continue in the academic world. So I started doing technical translations. And then me and Nicolas, we started to translate and publish books from the rejuvenation field. So Ending Aging by Albert de Grey, The Death of Death by José Cordeiro, Replacing Aging by Jean Herbert. And later we also published Harold Ketcher's book, The Illusion of Knowledge. We published the original version in English and also translated versions. And we also worked a bit with Harold. We were communication consultants for the company. We did a newsletter and some public relations, media relations work. And then we decided to found here in Brazil a research institute. It's a nonprofit research institute, call it the Rejuvenation Science Institute. And we are trying to reproduce Harold Ketcher's results, so his experiment. So basically, I talked a bit about Nicolas as well, but yeah.
Yeah, I will try to fill the gaps. My name is Nicolas. Yeah, and my university graduation was in journalism. So after the university, I worked as translator for many years, in fact. So one day in 2012, a person of my family was very sick, and I started to worry a lot about aging. And I had the idea, maybe there is some scientists doing something about aging, and I started to search. And then I discovered Albert de Grey's research, and that was the beginning. And then, as Nina said, we started to translate books. And we opened a publisher here in Brazil in the rejuvenation field. In a certain way, was a mix of my abilities in the language area with Nina's scientific ability. So, and then the process went on. I mean, we, as Nina said, published 10 books, and then we started to make consultancy for Harold Ketcher's company. And today, in fact, we also make videos for Healy's Foundation, the foundation led by Didier Cournel from Belgium. We make videos of scientific field, you know, especially rejuvenation and longevity field. So that is our story.
Well, you're doing a lot of good work there. And what a lot of people that listen to the podcast think we need more of is independent people founding institutes and companies like the Rejuvenation Science Institute. Now, I just want to take a little detour on that thought with Nina here about your decision to leave academia. Because what I've heard from a lot of people is that you can't make a lot of progress in academia because it's slow. And you need to, always get funding and different things. And they're never, striving for something, they're never striving for a big breakthrough like in rejuvenation or, biological rejuvenation. So could you talk just a little bit more about that decision to leave academia and do your own thing?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's in the whole world, but here in Brazil, my feeling is that I was working too much and being paid too little. This is one of the issues. One of
Well,
the issues.
I think people in the United States and many other countries would say that as well,
Yeah,
that in the
because,
end.
yeah, sorry, because it's a very hard work, it's a bit. You are a bit like a detective because you're trying to figure out to solve a problem, and it's many hours, it's very hard. You have to study a lot. And but besides that, I saw what you're talking about, that the most of the researchers, the professors in the university, they are it's like, oh, this is my job. I'm not in a hurry, They'll be like that. And I was like, okay, I synthesized this molecule. Okay, now I want you to see it move forward. So we tested in vitro. So now let's test in animals and then humans and things like that. And it was always like, no, it's just like a proof of concept. Don't worry, it's very rigid as well. So
Okay. I think,
this is
yeah.
something that frustrated me a lot and other colleagues. Of mine as well. But th this is an issue because if it was more open to move, the it's not just the professor, but the whole structure is very
Rigid.
small, yeah, very rigid.
Well, I'm happy to see that you found something that you think is much more productive. Let's get into Ketcher's company and his experiment and his results. Now, I haven't had time to delve into everything. We've had a lively discussion about some of the results that have come out so far. So, could you or Nicolas give us a little background on what Ketcher did with his mice and what were the results?
Well, the first time this research was published was in 2020, May 2020, when there was a scientific article published in bioRxiv. The first author was Steve Horvath, and the coordinator author was Katcher, in which they reported the rejuvenation of 54% epigenetically of rats, of old rats. Besides, the memory of the rats came back to youthful levels. The grip strength also came back to youthful levels, and around 20 biomarkers of blood came back to youthful levels. So the thing is, when I heard that, it was like I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. Everything changed for me because 54% epigenetically. And an article made by the first author was Steve Horvath. It was enough for me to say, oh, I need to know more about that. And then many things happens, but I will go to 2023 when this article was finally published in a peer review scientific journal in Journal of Science, October 2023. And then they revealed what they gave to the rats. Because in the first paper in 2020, they didn't say precisely what they gave. They said a plasma fraction, but I mean, what is a plasma fraction? So then in 2023, they revealed that it was extracellular particles that contained small extracellular vesicles or exosomes, like many people call them. And so I thought that people would reproduce this study. I mean, in the 2023 article in Geoscience, Steve Horvath redid the epigenetic clock counts, and the epigenetic rejuvenation was 67%. So 67%. So this need to be clarified. And then we were making the consultancy services to Yuvan, the company led by Harut Kacher, and we perceived that it was too slow. It was too slow. It's all the logic of the companies, the for-profit companies. Many things dependent on the patent. If they don't have the patent, things don't go forward. But and where the science goes? So, okay, I understand business, but we need to do the experiment again. And we perceived that we needed to make something more rapid. So we stopped the consultancy service with Yuvan. Then we started to make the videos for Hillis, for the foundation of Didier Cornell. And after a while, we decided that we needed to put hands at the work ourselves. We spent like 7, 8 years helping people in the rejuvenation field, you know, helping scientists, we like it, helping organizations, helping. But at some moment, I mean, my parents are old, Nina's parents are old. This is a life and death question. So we did, well, let's do it ourselves. So I believe someone will do, but I don't know when. So we started the Rejuvenation Science Institute, and I think, do you want to continue this story, Nina?
One good thing is that we already had a relationship with a researcher here in Brazil, in the city that we live, that he is like the most important researcher in the aging field here in Brazil. So he publishes in Nature and things like that.
Okay.
And yeah, so the experiment we already did and the one we are planning to do, it's always in collaboration with him. And the main thing that we do in the institute is coordinate the experiments, what will be done, when, do all this coordination, what needs to be purchased for the experiment, and also the fundraising. So we get the funds to do the experiment.
Great. Well, one thing I wanted to touch on here is that, yeah, Ketcher's experiments did produce some pretty dramatic rejuvenation in some markers of aging. Do you know, was there any measurement of the median or average lifespan of those mice? Was that increased?
Yeah, they did a lifespan study, right? A longevity study, I think they call it lifespan study. And one of the rats broke the record of the longest lived Sprague-Dawley rat. But I think that the median age, it didn't change so much.
Oh, like 12%, I think.
Yeah, something. Yeah,
Okay.
it increased, but not so much.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, 12% is nice for original experiment. Of course, we want to reproduce that. One question I think a lot of audience members might wonder about is that you've had a previous good relationship with Dr. Ketcher. What about conducting this experiment and the possibility of bias getting into the results, since you're familiar with, Ketcher and the results and everything, a lot of people might think, well, we should have a totally independent group trying to reproduce the experiment because you are too involved with Ketcher. Is there any thought of that? Any conflicts of interest, or with this other researcher in your area, do you feel that it can be conducted independently without bias?
I mean, I think so because we were never involved in the research itself of Harold Katra. It's just that from all the results we have seen so far, his results are the most impressive ones in terms of rejuvenation in animals. So that's why we want to follow this line of research. But we are doing, as I said, with a researcher that is not related in any way. He works also with small extracellular vesicles, but it's more in understanding their role in aging within the adipose tissue. So it's not so much in rejuvenation. We are kind of bringing him to the rejuvenation field. And also the people who in fact conduct the researches is like postdoc students who be hired by him, by the researcher. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, very good question you did, because I myself thought a lot about that. But we are friends of culture, yes, of course. But our effort was precisely doing it in an environment that could be protected from some kind of interests. For example, we are doing it as a non-profit foundation, and that is important because it's impossible in a company to ignore that the companies have the necessity of give back, to the investors, the money they invested, and with profit. So there is a necessity of money return. And in our case, our effort is only make an effort to give back rejuvenation, give back information, discoveries, knowledge. That is what we want to give back to the people who help us financially, for example. So it was the first thing. The second is that we associated to make this experiment with a university that is not any university in Latin America. It's maybe the best university for science in Latin America. And Professor Mori is a big name in the rejuvenation or longevity field. Even, 6, 7 years ago, we found that he was already known in the field. We were friends of him here in Brazil, but we didn't know that. And Mori published many articles in, as Nina said, in Nature, in very important journals. So we wanted to make with him in the university, Unicamp, in order to have this help in the trust that people can have. I understand perfectly that, I mean, who are we? We can invent everything, but the professional researchers at the universities with a reputation is not like that. If the rats live indefinitely, they will live here in the university, so any people could check. So,
One thing, because we are a non-profit, we want to publish the results even if they are bad, if even they are negative results. So in the first experiment, we are checking if the rats had a immune or toxic reaction. So if we injected the extracellular particles and they died, they had like a acute reaction, died, we would have published that. So in a company or in other environments, maybe you don't want to share the bad results, but we want to share the real results, even
Yeah,
if they are bad.
that is a very important point, Nina, because as you know, in academia, a lot of time the quote unquote null results or the results that didn't produce anything don't get published. No one knows about it. And that is very important. But yeah, I don't know if the rejuvenation research advocates can thank you guys enough for trying to reproduce this experiment, because it is a known problem that over 50%, the majority of medical and health research cannot be reproduced. So this is very important. So thank you very much for taking this on. And that brings us to the point that you would like to raise some funds to continue this reproduction of Ketcher's original experiment. So people might be very interested in donating to the Rejuvenation Science Institute. How can they do that?
Well, in our webpage, rejuvenescimento.org is the word for rejuvenation in Portuguese. But we have the website translated into English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. There is a button, very big button, donation, call it donation. So people can donate with a credit card, debit card,
PayPal.
PayPal, or many other regular ways. One important thing is that we will publish everything, all methods, materials, results immediately. And regarding what you said previously, that and the trust people can have. This is the beautiful thing in science, the reproducibility. So everything we publish can be done again by thousands of labs in the world. We were already contacted by three, four, groups in the world wanting to do the same. So that's the beautiful thing about science. When it is open, when it's published, what we will do could be redone,
Yeah, so for the next experiment, we are raising $75,000. We already have more than half, like 56% of that, basically because we got two big donations, one from HLIS, the Healthy Life Extension Society, and one from donotage.org. And yeah, so we're doing this fundraising. If like as we were telling the in our website, you can donate in several ways, but if you want to donate in a different way, you can also email us. Like, I don't know, people want to do
Yeah, they might have crypto.
cryptocurrency.
I'm sure you could somehow deal with cryptocurrency, right? If someone wanted to give you $20,000 a bit Bitcoin, you'd probably take it, find a way to get that money, right?
And you can donate also monthly if you want to donate, I don't know, $10 a month. If
Oh,
you
wow.
that you can also do that, you know, it also helps because every donation that we are getting is going to this fund, to the $75,000 fund.
Yeah, our vision is not to depend on a few people. I mean, we are very grateful to the people who gave us large donations like DoNotAge.org or HLIS. But in the long run, our vision is to have many, many, many people giving, for example, a little, $2, $3, or $10 per month in order we can go further, Imagine if you rejuvenate the rats here and they are living indefinitely in the university, then we will make other experiments. For example, we want to make experiments of safety in the regulatory environment, to make the path to the clinic, for example. Or we can make tests with humans. I mean, if pigs' blood can rejuvenate rats, what about blood from young humans rejuvenating old humans? So in the university Unicamp, we have all the infrastructure. Is a
There's a hospital, a very large hospital.
yeah
Okay,
they
well
have
that
a
yeah.
Then
Then
you're
they
set
have
up
a
pretty good to move maybe eventually in a couple of years onto human experiments.
precisely, they have a structure for human trials. So we want to continue that if we have success. So we are contacting the rejuvenation field. I think we are not famous, so it's not easy to let everybody knows about it,
Well,
So
hopefully the Longevity Now podcast will reach quite a few people because for the second time, I'd like to thank you guys very much for trying to reproduce this very seminal experiment because it could hold the key to some potential rejuvenation even in people. So I would definitely encourage people to donate. Large amounts, small amounts, whatever. Every dollar helps. I know that. So thank you so much for explaining your research that you're trying to conduct there in Brazil. And I wish you the most success here in the near future. Nicolas and Nina, thanks for joining us on the Longevity Now podcast.
thank you so much.
okay, a big hug for everybody.
Life extension enthusiasts have been plugging away at the problem of aging for a long time now. I know many of you have donated money and time throughout the years, and we have not yet seen any proven rejuvenation treatments enter the marketplace. Perhaps the replication crisis in medical research is one of the reasons why. If you agree, then send some donations toward the Rejuvenation Science Institute. If Ketcher's experiment can be reproduced, then we might have a new way to turn back the aging clock relatively soon. Until next time, I'm Justin Lowe.